are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this April 10th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a perfect Friday afternoon here in the Auburn and Opelika area. I cannot believe I am still able to speak. It's pretty incredible with what the week has been, and I'm sure at some point tonight at SEMO Field, the voice will fully give out, and then I'll, you know, say I told you so. But there is so much to talk about on the show today. It is a shortened show today. Told you that on the way out yesterday. Hate to do it, but given the circumstances, it just made the most sense for us. So we're going for the first hour today. We'll be here between 2 and 3. We'll throw it back to ESPN national programming for an hour, and then the drive will take over when those guys get here at 4 o'clock. And so that is what is the kind of the rundown there a little bit. Christian, happy Friday to you, sir. Happy Friday at the Masters as well, where Rory McIlroy has come to play, buddy.
Man, my goodness. Yeah, happy Friday. You couldn't ask for a better day, a better start to the weekend. And I don't know what you're talking about. You say you're not going to have a voice. I mean, I called a game last night, but I was able to save a lot of my voice.
What happens when there's a lot of fly outs and ground outs and strikeouts, huh?
Yeah, I mean, a game that lasts all of an hour and 45 minutes yeah. and five combined hits. I mean, a pitcher's Heck duel, yeah. to say the least, and it was a solo shot in the fifth that ultimately ended up being the difference maker. Hoping that the weather and the weekend, the good vibes, can work its way to Lee Scott Academy's bats in the first base dugout here this afternoon, because for all you know, maybe that's where they left them, in the first base dugout.
That's okay. So,
but why have them for one game when you can have them for a double dip here this afternoon? Lee Scott Academy and Glenwood, games 2 and 3 of the series, games 1 and 2 of the doubleheader here this afternoon. Area play and the winner is almost in cruise control for the one seed in the playoffs. The loser, whether that's Lee Scott's in two games or whether that's the full three game set, has a little bit more work to do, but you fully expect these teams to make a postseason, a deep postseason run. Game two should be absolutely phenomenal. You're going to see or hear a lot of velo. You're going to see that leather pop behind the catcher's mitt. It's going to be a whole lot of fun here this afternoon, but that's here in a little bit. We got an hour for you here this afternoon. We're talking Auburn men's basketball in the portal. We're talking returners. We're talking more news outside of Auburn. A fun conversation on what's the potential lineup could look like for next year. Auburn's also in the conversation with a couple of guards right now from other schools, a couple from the mid-major level as well. Where does Auburn feel with Tahad Pettiford? Where does Auburn feel with Elijah Freeman? A conversation on that before we flip over to Auburn baseball. And my goodness, do we have some percentages from you right now to talk about on Auburn on the pitching side of things. The Bats have to have a major, major plan this weekend. Baseball has adopted a little bit of a figure-it-out mentality this weekend, according to the coaching staff. And so whatever that is going to mean, you feel a little bit more confident on the pitching side of things, on the figure it out mentality rather than at the plate. But maybe a little bit of freedom is what is needed for the Auburn bats to come to life. All of that here coming up in our lone hour number one on the Free For All Friday edition of On The Line.
And with that, phone lines are open on this show today. So if you want to be a part of the show, if you have thoughts on Auburn basketball, Auburn baseball, the Masters, high school sports, anything you want to talk about today, we would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number. Again, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the On The Line text box at 334-784-1067. Happy Friday. Happy Friday at the Masters. Also, happy Dandelion release day for Ella Langley. I have listened to the entire album in its entirety.
That's why
twice.
You don't have a voice.
Yeah.
I don't have
the songs memorized yet. Okay.
Joke's on you. There will not be Auburn High baseball tonight. It's just Jacob.
I'm going to work in as many lyrics as I can into my broadcast this evening. No, the album is incredible. It is very good. And, yes, very excited for that. Of course, four songs have already been released from that. It's legit. It's pretty awesome.
Unfortunately, it's not Auburn softball you're calling tonight. You can't want to be her. So
yeah,
that would have been too easy as a lob.
Yeah, but a fly ball out to center field, Antoine Daniel steps over the dandelion to make the grab for out number one. I mean,
that's a shame at SEMO Field though. You can't throw. That's more of a road site.
Yeah,
stepping
but
over.
But I can still say that because it's natural grass at SEMO Field. Next year it will be turf. Well, it really won't make any sense if you've got a dandelion growing through the turf. You really got problems.
Just over the wall rolls into the dandelion.
There are grass. Yeah, there's grass on the hill. Yeah. There's probably a dandelion out there somewhere. Yeah, there's a possibility.
Just being picked by the 3-year-old blowing on. Who cares?
So happy Ella Langley album release day to all of those who celebrate. So
the Battery is releasing a whole sit down watch party.
She was having like 8 of them across like Alabama, Georgia, a couple of other places too. But yeah, the Battery was doing it. That's pretty incredible. So there's a lot of good things going on this Friday. Again, at the Masters right now. There's Jordan Spieth. Was that a 3-putt on 18 or a 2-putt? He left early on the putt. Oh, it was a bogey on 18. Yeah, he left early on the par putt and tapped it in frustratingly. Scotty has struggled today. Jordan has struggled today. Shocker. Again, Rory has come to play today. Justin Rose, Sam Burns, Patrick Reed up there. So a couple of former winners up there on the leaderboard on this Friday. Brooks Koepka, 3-under right now, trying to save it.
That's a little bit of a surprise right there. How do you feel? Are you a Rory fan?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if you felt otherwise. Did you see his quote after round one?
Where he said, "I'm going to go put my green jacket on and have a drink and get ready for tomorrow." I love it.
I love it, man.
I do. You're a Masters winner and you get to flex. And you were, was he tied for the lead after round one or a stroke back?
Yeah,
he was tied for the lead.
He was tied at 5-under.
Man, that's such a hard comment, man. He said, because he's in the champions locker, you know. And he said,
sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go put my green jacket on. I'm going to have myself a drink and I'm going to get ready for tomorrow. That's awesome. Good for you. And
just
he backed
like
it up today.
For someone that plays the victim card a lot when things are high.
Yeah.
He's very vocal when things are going good for him.
I do feel for him because a lot of the live PGA stuff, he was forced into to the yes man for the PGA and the display boy for the PGA, which I don't think he really signed up for, but I'm a Rory fan. I enjoyed watching him win it last year, and I've seen a lot of people talk, we're about to get to the phone lines, we got our guy K-Bag holding on very patiently. I've seen a lot of people talk about Rory who, as we speak, after starting 3 birdies in his first 4, he just bogeyed 5, so Christian just celebrated, but
we're back.
We're so back. I've seen a lot of people talk with Rory, though. The stress and the pressure of not winning the Masters that he had for years and years and years, because it's the one that eluded him, right? People are talking like and seeing it in him that is gone, and he's playing great golf right now.
Well, he talked about it too and said, man, this time of year for 15 years of my life, I could not wait for this tournament to get here. Now it's just here. And
but you can just go enjoy it.
I don't really
it.
Care.
Yeah. The pressure of Rory winning it is no longer, like, nobody is like, man, Rory's got to have this.
Yeah.
Like, unless he's just up by five on Sunday heading to the second nine, that's a different story. But he's up by two right now in round number two. Let's get to the phone lines here on this free-for-all Friday. If you can't tell, that's what it is. 334-321-1390. K-Bag, what's going on, my man? It was good to see you a couple of weeks ago out at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. I hope all was well.
Hey, I appreciate that. Christian, are you an Ella hater?
I am not whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Just had to get that out.
No. Definitely not an Ella hater. I just don't refer to myself as much of an Ella fella as Mr. Goins.
Well, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with that, Jacob. I'm part of the Ella fella. Christian, you can just take you and your Rory take on up the road a little bit.
I can do that.
Oh, that's funny.
That's good. Yeah, I was proud of Auburn basketball, to be honest with you. You know, I was just like everybody else, kind of indifferent on it. Glad we played, but once we got in there, the only thing to do was left to win it. You can't control who you play. You can only play who they throw out there and
right.
whatever tournament it is. Doesn't matter if it's Maui or Atlantis or the NIT or the NCAA tournament. You just got to beat who they tell you to play.
Yeah.
So I was proud of them.
Were you a fan, K-Bag? Because I'm taking the poll of everybody that we talked to. Were you a fan initially of Auburn taking the NIT bid? It sounds like you were, you know, cheering for them once they got in it. But on the very forefront, were you a fan of taking it or not so much?
Absolutely. You can't turn down the opportunity to have home games. It doesn't
okay.
matter if 2,000 people or 10,000 show up. But as much as those kids are getting paid, they need to play. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the home games was a big reason Auburn did it. And, yeah, I mean, if you're Auburn, it's like, man, we're paying you, let's just say for flat, easy math, we're paying you $1 million. We're going to get our ROI, man. We're going to get four or five
yeah.
more games out of you. Absolutely.
And you know, the amount of money that people pay for season tickets in the arena, you know, I understand those that didn't show up or those that didn't buy it. I get it. Trust me. But, you know, that was the right thing to do is to play it. You don't turn that down. I mean, it's not like it's a bowl game and you have 25% of your roster that, you know, says they're not going to play in the bowl game
sure.
because you're 6-6.
Not like you're one of those teams that has to accept a 5-7 bowl win or bowl game.
Right. Right, exactly. I mean, that's different.
I haven't heard anybody make that comparison yet. That's interesting, K-Bag. The 5-7 bowl bid versus the NIT for basketball, that's kind of comparable, though.
I would say, yeah, especially if you're talking about playing before December. Sure, it's absolutely, I mean, before Christmas
yeah.
in December, absolutely yeah. is comparable.
Well, that, and now you can look at it, too, of what we're diving into here throughout hour number one of the returners, right? Sebastian Williams-Adams is the most recent returner for Auburn, and it goes to hopefully credit the NIT run of Kevin Overton returning, being able to get some of these guys in the portal, and now Sebastian Williams-Adams of Stephen Pearl kind of letting the reins go a little bit, adapting to what these players are wanting to do, giving them bigger roles for what they are expected to have in these next upcoming years.
Well, and also for Stephen, it was a tremendous learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a different schedule, especially with the NIT, and what they have, what, 12 or 13 days off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
before,
somewhere in there.
You know, they had to go to Indianapolis. I mean, it was a good experience overall. I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they went out and won, because if we got put out, we'd have been laughingstock.
And that was the big concern, I think, for a lot of people, myself included, was if you take it, which I was not a fan of taking it, I've been very vocal and I won't go away from that, but if you took it, you had to win it, and Auburn did that.
That's right. Yeah, they did what they had to do. But I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good Friday.
Yeah, good to hear from you, K-Bag. Always appreciate you and your support of the program. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. So is the text box at 334-784-1067.
K-Bag, sing your heart out here on this Friday afternoon.
Dude, blast it. It's good. There's about three of the – because there was already four released, right? Of the there's probably three good just like – get into it belted songs, and then there's several more that are like in the feels, like, all right, yeah, the lyric songs, you know what I'm talking about? So I enjoyed it very much. I've listened to it twice, but we are talking Auburn basketball, so thank you to K-Back for a perfect segue to talk about the latest news from this morning. Sebastian Williams-Adams, you said it, has announced his return to Auburn basketball. One of the freshman on this team from this past season who really only grew and got better as the season went on. His role grew, his skill set grew, became somebody who, not necessarily a reliable three-point shooter, but somebody who could knock it down, right? You weren't drawing up plays for him, but if he found himself open from out there, he would absolutely let it fly and had the ability to knock it down at a halfway decent rate. And so,
at worst, became that respectable percentage of you can't wave off and go stand in the paint.
Right. I talk about that with big men all the time. If you're a center, and he's not, obviously, but if you're a center and can shoot at a 30 to 35% clip, 33 on average,
yeah,
just enough to where, yeah, they have to respect it, they have to guard you. It just spreads the floor so much.
The perfect example, Janai was, what, a 31, 32% three-point shooter his senior year?
Yeah, something like
but
that.
But opened it up enough to where, okay, the 1-for-3s, 2-for-5s mm-hmm. were there, and you didn't complain. Now, if it was 7-8 attempts, that was when it was, all right, let's figure some things out. But if Sebastian Williams-Adams is one of those guys that wants to go 1-for-4, 2-for-5, or 2-for-6 on any given night in SEC play, I don't see too many complaints being drawn up from the Auburn fan base.
Yeah, Sebastian Williams-Adams in his freshman season at Auburn, again, 6'8", 230 pounds, averaged 7 points a game, 3.5 boards, an assist and a half as well, and shot it at 50% from the floor overall, which is impactful. It is effective, and this was somebody that Auburn, and Sway shot 31% from three this season, just for what it's worth.
And much better over the back half of the season.
Yes, very much so. This was somebody that Stephen Pearl and Auburn clearly made a priority and wanted him to return because of his production, yes, but his potential, the other P word in there, is off the charts. I mean, this is somebody who we sat inside of Neville in the media section several nights this season and said, man, this dude has a chance to be a freak in this league. I mean, he has the ability to bring the ball up the floor, which I know you and I both love. He has the ability to move without the basketball. He's physical enough for now in the lane. And then, as we mentioned, he's got the shooting ability as well. He's aggressive on the boards. I mean, he does a little bit of everything and does it well. The sky is the limit for Sebastian Williams-Adams, and what a return for Auburn they're going to have in sophomore campaign.
According to Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof for Sebastian Williams-Adams. Have you heard that?
The ceiling is the roof?
Yeah, he gave that speech in Chapel Hill trying to hype up the basketball team before like their spring game one year.
Oh, the ceiling, I've never heard that.
The ceiling is the roof, gentlemen. That was what the GOAT said. But no, and you mentioned physical enough. I would say physical enough offensively. I would say definitely more than physical enough defensively. And his ability to guard on ball and in the paint, you feel like in the game of positionless basketball, Sebastian Williams-Adams has that product of being one of the guys that can work into a major role. Whether that is what we hope continues to rise of bringing the ball up the floor, allowing Tahad or KO or whoever is back there to work off the ball a little bit, just so that way you can then work them off of off-ball screens to where it's a catch-and-shoot opportunity rather than everything being off the dribble. You saw what Tahad was able to do when Auburn was able to draw up plays for him in the NIT of a catch-and-shoot guard. Kevin Overton is obviously one of those guys as well, and then defensively can guard 1-5 and can jump out of the gym and rebound with the best of them as well. I also am very intrigued to see if Houston was in this conversation at all, because did you see Auburn's official? I mean, obviously you saw his post.
Yeah.
But it said the H-Town kid is back. And every time that they've mentioned Sebastian Williams-Adams, they mentioned Houston. And I don't know if that was just a subtle jab of...
I'm sure they wanted a piece. Again, he is from Houston.
Right. And I can only imagine, but how funny of a little jab that would be of the H-Town kid staying home for his sophomore season. Just a possible little nugget and maybe a little gamesmanship on the media side.
Well, Auburn came off some cash on this one, there's no doubt, but you were going to have to keep the talent and the potential of Sebastian Williams Adams. He is the latest announcement for Auburn to return to Stephen Pearl and the Tigers in year two. We'll talk more about that and what the roster looks like for now, what more potential announcements could be on the way, and future portal additions for the Tigers as well. That coming up next here as we are just underway on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader and home of Auburn women's basketball.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking more Auburn basketball as the Tigers got good news today from the transfer portal, or I guess lack of the transfer portal.
The retainment rather than...
Yeah, retention is just as important as recruiting, man. I've said it. I've said RPR or PRR or RRP or whatever order you want to put them in. Recruiting, retention, and portal. That's it. That's the job of coaches and GMs nowadays in any college athletics.
And I would put it in that order: RRP of recruiting, retaining, and then portal.
You think so?
I definitely would. In a major level. Yes. Now, if you're wanting to obviously take a big step up, you could hit the portal harder 1 year than the previous year.
Year one coaches, I think.
Very much so, yeah.
Portal, yeah.
But especially in the SEC or the Big Ten, of when you get to a spot where high school commits are able to find you very easily and you don't have to push as hard to get the top prospects, keeping them if they are planning on not being a one-and-done prospect, I think is more important than going out and getting somebody to possibly replace them.
Yeah, and so for Auburn basketball, again, the known returner, Simon Walker, Kevin Overton, and Sebastian Williams Adams. And those are major returns. I mean, man, if Simon Walker can stay healthy and become an actual part of the rotation, he was one of the best shooters in his high school recruiting class. There was a reason Auburn brought him in. There's also a reason Auburn wanted to keep him. He didn't just decide, hey, I think I'm going to stay. And Auburn said, okay, wow, yeah, that's great.
Sure, I guess, yeah.
Two-way street, we talk about it all the time. Auburn has to accept his return, if you will.
Yes, and you also don't make an exception, not in a negative way, but ACC accepting of Simon Walker this early of, yeah, we hoped to give you 12 minutes as a bench piece.
Yeah.
You're expecting a much bigger role, and I think that is why there was a lot of mutual excitement between the two.
Yeah, and so the two known leavers for right now is Filip Jovic and Cade Magwood, which leaves a couple of open-ended questions here on the two big names, Elijah Freeman and Tahad Pettiford. And look, if you read things online and talk to people at the local watering hole, they're going to tell you one thing, and online will tell you something else. We've talked with some of our buddies, talked to some of our people. There are mixed feelings and mixed confidences or lack thereof when it comes to Elijah Freeman and Tahad Pettiford. Auburn is working with them, and Auburn has had conversations with Tahad and Jersey, and they've had conversations multiple with Tahad Pettiford and Elijah Freeman, but let's just call it like it is. The two guys are shopping around a little bit. They're deciding what they want to do. Is the grass greener, or do they return to Auburn?
Yeah, window shopping. We're not in the portal. But in today's day and age, we're also not in the portal. And so if you would like to reach out, feel free. I may or may not pick up the phone and hand you to my agent and let him talk numbers with you and talk how I'm going to be utilized. It's also a two-way street, and the way that the college game has turned into a business model, Auburn, as much as you would like to keep Tahad and Freeman, if you get the opportunity, You cannot let them have so much control to where every single guard that is in the transfer portal right now goes without hearing from you, goes without a 334 number being called to your cell phone. Because if Tahad on the second to last day of the transfer portal or declares for the transfer portal on the second to last day and waits it out the entire spring into the summer, all of a sudden Auburn has very, very limited options that they could go to where a player, if you are not strategic, could screw over your season in the next year if you do not take action when needed.
My gut feeling is based off the guys that are returning for Auburn and the roundabout price tags for that, plus what Auburn has to go do in the portal. Don't forget Ngoy, the center coming over from France, who was not free, by the way. My gut feeling is that Auburn has the opportunity, not even the guarantee, just the opportunity to return one of Tahad Pettiford and Elijah Freeman.
Yeah.
That's kind of just, that's a Friday afternoon, just here's how I'm feeling going into the weekend.
Sure.
And I think we have an answer by Monday.
I feel like we are gaining a little bit more traction on the Tahad side of things. I think we are honestly losing a little bit of traction on the Elijah Freeman side of things. But I do agree with you. I think one is the more reasonable option now, and that turns Auburn's interest into who is that priority. Because in a weird way, if this person is not taking their contract next year, that opens up a mental salary cap or lottery space that you want to use. And maybe we can shift a little bit of that over to the other player to get him to stay wearing an Auburn jersey.
And that's where the internal discussion comes. Do you want the point guard / shooting guard? Do you want the forward who's younger, probably has more potential? Or do you want somebody who's been in the program for 2 years and you know what you can get out of him? That's the discussions, and those guys are talking the same thing with a bunch of other programs as well. So more portal updates. We'll give you those on Monday. But when we come back, we're flipping to the diamond and talking Auburn baseball as they try to build on their win against Arkansas and flush that loss against Jack State. It's the Tigers and the Cats this weekend at Plainsman Park. We talk about it coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. A reminder today that for our show only, On the Line, we're normally on the air from 2 to 4. We are only on the air from 2 to 3 today, okay? Only 1 hour of the show. I know I hear some of the applause. I hear some of the boos as well. That's okay. We're only on the air for an hour today because we both have baseball, and Christian getting started a little bit earlier, and I'm a 5 o'clock start, which makes it a little hectic anyways, and so we don't do it often, but we're just going to go for an hour today. We're back to normal on Monday, and so keep that in mind. So while we're on a shortened show, we definitely wanted to talk Auburn baseball. And basketball has dominated the conversation this week because of the transfer portal. But Auburn baseball has snuck up on us where the Tigers and the Cats back in action tonight. Plainsman Park this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It is a 6 o'clock start as Scotty misses his birdie putt on 18. So he'll be even par heading into the weekend there at Augusta. I'm sure nobody will be scared of him going into Saturday. 6 o'clock start tonight at Plainsman Park, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and then 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And Christian, how difficult will it be in your mind, coming from the former player, to build on the Arkansas series where Auburn got the win in 2-1, build on the Arkansas series, but try to totally forget about the Jacksonville State game on Tuesday?
The first three innings of Friday night can tell you a whole lot. that can easily flush away the bad memories and bring back the good. But if Kentucky is able to jump on Auburn, or maybe not even the first three innings, but after tonight, they can bring a lot of those memories back, both good or bad. The good thing about that is, and the beautiful thing about baseball, is you are in control of what you want to do. And that is kind of the way that Auburn's coaching staff has brought this weekend to the players. And for better or for worse, Butch Thompson and the staff have used the motto, figure it out, to describe this weekend. And you feel like that makes a whole lot of sense on the pitching mound because, all right, who's going to get me out? Who's going to get us out?
Yeah.
And that's, you feel like, is answered because look at who's going tonight. It's Andreas Alvarez. It is not Jake Marciano.
Right.
Auburn is now using him to try and win a series on Saturday, or at worst, force a rubber match game where then you have the mix of Petrovic and Sanders who can go in game three.
Yeah, I talked to Brad a little bit about that yesterday, just kind of getting them back in the same day, week rotation. It's kind of weird with the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, and then back to Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, basically makes it to where you have that one buffer day, so that way you're still throwing every 5 days, essentially, after your weekend starts, starting back on that Monday and going through the whole process. But college is a little bit different than professional leagues. But I love the figure-it-out method, if you will, for Auburn on the mounds of who's going to get me out. We'll figure it out and we'll take it batter by batter if we need to. That being said, figure it out at the plate is a little bit concerning because it feels like that's what has happened over the past couple of weekends of we'll figure it out. And when you're figuring it out down 0-2,
yeah,
that doesn't necessarily set up a recipe for success.
It's a motto that when it works, it's great. When it doesn't, it's like, okay, you can't just go off of feel and hope that it's going to work out and pray that it's going to. That's funny, isn't it? We're not going to tell what it is.
You're not allowed to send me that.
But I just sent you something that is so funny. And when I saw it on my phone, I almost lost it, too. Oh, I mean, it's baseball related.
It is. It is baseball related.
Oh, that's so funny. Anyway, yeah, when it's not working, everybody in the stands and everybody in the media and everybody on the outside's like, okay, are you going to do something about it or are we just going to sit and hope?
Yeah.
And, well, we want it to happen, so it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't have that mentality.
We'll figure
weekend.
It out.
But what if you don't? And then you're SOL. And that's not, I hate to say, in back-to-back weekends after Auburn did what we asked them to do last weekend, which was win the series, I hate to say there's a lot of pressure on this series to win this one because if you don't, you're in trouble. But if you don't win this one, I think you're in trouble.
Well, it's that, even if you take away the opponent, the name, which that's a whole other conversation because Kentucky also 6-6 in SEC play, kind of reeling right now, not having the offensive firepower that they are used to as well. But take away, and it's a nameless, faceless opponent, you're playing at Plainsman Park, where winning the series needs to be a priority. This has the opportunity, very similarly to the Arkansas Razorback series, of if you take care of business, this is a sweepable series. And we have talked all about how that is not the mentality that you can have going into this, because it's really hard to do that. But great teams, when they have the opportunity to sweep and steal a game, is very, very important. If you're at home and you have the opportunity to sweep, you have to find a way to do it. If you lost the first two on the road, you got to find a way to steal Sunday, steal a game, because in the long haul, that makes a very, very big difference. A perfect example of that, looking at it for a plus and a minus, game two at Missouri in extra innings. That was a game, obviously didn't get the sweep at that time, but that won the series, allowed you to go into the mentality of a sweep for game three, which was that afternoon doubleheader. On the reverse side of things, the Saturday in Tuscaloosa,
yeah,
where your offense did not do anything and your pitching staff gave you enough to where, my goodness, you had every opportunity and then some to get big time, to get a win on the road, which looking back at it now my goodness, if you had just gotten one, how much better of a spot you would be.
Yeah, Butch Thompson in his career has been pretty good in winning game one of the series, but in the last handful of years, Auburn has been good in winning game one of the series in SEC play at home. Tigers have won 8 straight SEC home. They've won the home opener in the SEC series 8 times in a row.
Wow.
So, I mean, you have that since 2024.
Shows the, which is good and bad, because you don't want to have the roller coasters of the year that you feel like you've had a little bit, especially in non-conference and in the midweek. But it shows that the switch can be flipped on the weekends, and especially in game one, it has been flipped, which is a very hopeful sign for Andreas Alvarez and for this Auburn team here tonight.
Now, something that I've heard people start to bring up and wanting us to talk about it, and what's the word I'm looking for? Rightfully so. There we go. I figured it out. Rightfully so. What did Jack State do on Tuesday that Auburn just absolutely was not ready for? Not anything in particular, but the term of
small ball.
Small ball.
Yeah. I dove into an entire segment on that of Jacksonville State leading the country in sack bunts, sack flies, and stolen bases. And Auburn was not prepared for it at all. And it was like,
how? Yeah.
It's like playing Alabama in basketball. Wait, it's a team that does like to shoot the three?
Man, they run a lot.
Yeah. Man, they love to get up and down the floor and jack up triples.
Man, they hand off to that running back in Athens quite a bit. Whew. Golly.
Does Tennessee always play this physical? Is it a bully ball type of game?
What do you mean, really? Texas Tech throws the football 80 times a game? Yeah. I didn't see that coming. How much is that quarterback making? No. Here are the numbers on Kentucky. They lead the SEC out of the 16 teams. They lead the SEC in hit-by-pitches, stolen bases, and sacrifice bunts.
Get guys on. Get guys over.
Trip.
Oh,
that's twice this week, man. That's terrible. That's twice in 3 days. Boo!
Get guys on, get guys over.
Get guys in.
Get guys in. There we go.
There it is.
Very
nicely
done.
That's what Kentucky does. They lead the league in being hit by a pitch. They lead the league in stolen bases, 94 stolen bases, and they lead the league in sack bunts as well.
Tripp said, shut up, bro. We're trying to watch Brooks make a 20-footer for birdie.
Yeah, Kentucky hitting .284 as a team, .243 in SEC play. They have lost 3 straight SEC series. So this is a team that pitches it fine. They're not anything crazy. 301 strikeouts on the year, 141 walks on the year. So they are throwing their dude in game one, as you would imagine. Jackson Jelkin, who has a 2.96 ERA. He is 6-0 on the season, which, again, the win-loss record in baseball, not as important as it used to be. But 54 strikeouts to just 10 walks in almost 50 innings of work.
A team like that in Kentucky, going back to what they do at the plate, very similar to what we will talk about tonight on the Lee Scott Sports Network. You know this Glenwood Gator team. What happens when a runner gets on base? Yep. Every single time.
They lay that sucker down.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, pinch hitter, pinch runner, doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Runner gets on first.
They could pull a dad out of the stands and he'd know what to do.
Runner gets on first. You square. And they get it down.
Yep.
They force the defense to make a play. Lee Scott has been very good at that and made multiple plays last night. And one of the few plays in baseball where both fan bases applaud, one for the sacrifice bunt and one for the out. So because of that, Tripp, going back to you, what is the most important thing against teams like that?
Fielding.
Yes. Broader. Which actually should make it easier for you to not allow sacrifice bunts, or at least popular ones, or easy stolen bases.
Field the ball and throw it.
Yes. You're in fact getting there. Jacob, what is the most important thing against teams like that?
Bring them in.
The first out of the inning. Get out number one.
Yeah.
To where a sacrifice bunt does not play the importance that it used to.
Correct.
Because then there's two outs in an inning.
Yeah.
Makes a stolen base a little bit more challenging, a little bit more difficult. You'll still see stolen bases with two outs to try and get a runner into scoring position. Sorry, I tried to lob that up. I didn't do a very good job with it.
There's a lot of options there.
There were a lot of options. But against a team that loves to play small ball, the biggest thing to do, it's like when you have a 2-1 lead in the top half of the seventh inning, your team's coming back to bat. The most important thing is to get that leadoff runner on base to try and make it to where you can play for that game-tying run or that extra insurance run.
Auburn High had the leadoff runner on via a walk last night.
I don't want to get started with that. We had opportunities as well. Yeah. But getting out number one makes it to where a single doesn't automatically refer to the next batter squaring and laying down a bunt.
Right.
Auburn leads the country in 1-2-3 innings, three up, three down innings at 36.5%.
Defensively.
Yes. Probably offensively as well.
But yeah, we won't talk about those numbers. No, we won't go
but
there.
Auburn on the mound pitches a three up.
I just had to clarify to make
inning.
Sure.
Auburn on the mound pitches a three up, three down inning, according to D1 Baseball, 36.6% of the time, which leads college baseball.
That's so, I mean, that's, so that you're is, talking three
that
times
is three
a game.
Three innings in a game where nobody gets on base, much less getting the first out of the inning, which makes it that much more important if you're able to do that and silence what Kentucky wants to do. It's very difficult to do. We talk about it in all sorts of sports because how many times do we see offensive coordinators change what they want to do? And it's like, man, what was working, but you tried to outsmart yourself. Mm-hmm. In baseball, it's a little bit different. It's much more of the old school type of football, Army, Navy. We're going to run it on first down. Okay, cool. We picked up 2 yards. We're going to run it on second down. All right, it's third and five. All right, we picked up three more yards. Fourth and two, we've run it three straight times. All right, cool. We're going to run it again. Stop us.
This is what we do.
That is what they do. Jacksonville State was the same type of way. Five pitches in, you saw three bunts and a two-run shot because of a middle-middle fastball. You have to force a team like Kentucky out of their game, and the easiest way to do it is with really good pitching. Auburn has that, which puts the X factor yet again, home half of the innings. What can Auburn do at the plate?
Can you be aggressive but competitive at the plate?
Patience. Aggressive patience.
Auburn High's having that problem right now. We've had the problem the first two games of the Central Series.
And then the overcompensation. Let me take the middle fastball. Ah, dang it. Okay, let me get back in there. I'm going to grip the bat a little bit tighter. 0-1 breaking ball. I see it. Oh, crap, it's in the dirt. I've already swung.
Yeah, I'm ahead on this pitcher 2-0. Don't bail him out.
Yeah.
Don't help him. They don't need help. They're good enough as it is. And so Auburn High dealing with that. Lee Scott dealing with that. Auburn University dealing with that, too. And
baseball,
for,
baby. Woo!
Yeah, got to love it. Butch Thompson and the boys will have Kentucky coming to town this weekend. If you do win the series, what does that mean? We'll look at the SEC standings very quickly in the other SEC series. When we come back, we'll plug our high school stuff as well.
Before that, do you see what the giveaway is tonight at Plainsman Park?
Is tonight the driver head cover?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there is anybody, I will scream Ella Langley lyrics at the top of my lungs.
No, you can't. No. Don't buy that. Look at Jason Day playing a little golf at the Masters. He's two back.
If the leaderboard can look like this weekend, I'll be happy.
Oh, I'll be absolutely happy. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the hour and the show. We get a shortened show today, and only going for an hour. We'll tell you more about it and wrap it up next.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here in hour number one, but on the show today, we are going just an hour on the program this afternoon as we both have high school baseball, so we are going to head out at 3 o'clock. We'll go to our respective baseball fields and have high school baseball tonight. Very quickly here, okay, very quickly looking at the standings in the SEC. Auburn and Kentucky both 6-6. So a win this weekend would put Auburn in a good spot. If you are able to pull off the sweep, you'd feel even better.
Yes, and there are a couple of series this weekend that you can start to see some separation. There are a couple of those series this weekend. Georgia is hosting Florida. If Georgia can continue to win how they have been playing, again, especially at Foley Field, the launch pad that it is, if they can out-hit Florida and win that series, Georgia already atop the SEC. Oklahoma and Vanderbilt is going to be a very, very interesting series. You have South Carolina and Missouri. Battle for not being the bottom of the SEC. Yeah. You have Arkansas and Alabama, which is going to be really, really fun one. You have Tennessee and Mississippi State, LSU and Ole Miss, and then you have Texas and Texas A&M. Those three right there are going to be a major telltale sign of what the middle tier is going to look like in the SEC versus that upper echelon.
Mm-hmm.
And Auburn this weekend with a chance to work its way into that upper echelon. If you can take two, or if you can take three, it puts you in a very, very good spot with a couple of these really tough, really difficult road series still upcoming on your schedule.
All three of those games can be heard locally on the radio with Andy Burch and Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network on the call. Next door on our sister station, Wings 94.3. I will be live on Wings 94.3 tomorrow afternoon from noon to 2. We're going to be out at Fairway Auto Brokers for their annual tent sale, so be sure to come by and hang out there, and if you need a new vehicle, that's the place to go this weekend. So that's tomorrow from noon to 2 on Wings 94.3.
You can just go and get a new vehicle. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're giving them away for a price, so you just have to stop by and check that out. So that's tomorrow. Again, baseball on Wings all weekend long. You've got Lee Scott baseball tonight on Tiger Country 104.5. A 4 o'clock first pitch, is that correct?
That is. Games 2 and 3, games 1 and 2 of the doubleheader. Glenwood took game 1-2-0 in a pitcher's duel. Hoping the bats would come to life, and the law of averages tell me that one of these games will be an 11-8 game, just based off of how one of those games was a pitcher's duel. I would not imagine it being in game 2 with the arms that we have going on the mounds and for both of these teams. And so game 2, Lee Scott trying to even the series in what could be a very, very fun game 3 for the winner of this series, all but set to be the one seed in the 3A playoffs for this area region.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So Tiger Country 104.5, 2 games starting at 4 o'clock over there. I am heading to SEMO Field for Auburn High School Baseball, hosting Central for game 3 of the series with a 5 o'clock first pitch. Series is split. Auburn won in Phoenix City in game 1. Red Devils won in Auburn for game 2. So game 3 coming up tonight. 5 o'clock first pitch, 96-3 W. Lee.
Auburn or Kentucky, what happens?
I got Auburn in a series win. I'm not taking the sweep, though. They'll win tonight, tomorrow. They'll lose on Sunday.
I think Auburn gets it done. I think they command game 1 and 2, and if Petrovic and Sanders can do what they need to do in game 3, Auburn has everything set up for a 3-0 weekend.
We'll talk about it on Monday. Again, show ending early today. ESPN Radio coming up from 3 to 4, and then the drive from 4 to 6. We're back on Monday, 2 to 4, until